Well, considering we've been talking about bone and joint health, I think it's apt that our resident dietitian and physiologist Orla Walsh is going to focus on an anti-inflammatory diet and how it can help us go about our day-to-day lives and improve our living. Orla, this is something that I'm curious about because I haven't heard too much about it. You hear about anti or inflammatory foods and things that are necessary, but like often you're wondering, where's the evidence behind it? So what conditions or health issues might actually benefit us from following an anti-inflammatory diet?
Nearly all of them. Consider conditions and diseases a seed, and the soil in which they grow in is inflammation. So it will help nearly everyone listening. But if you think back to even the guests you've had on the show, it's going to help with PCOS. It's going to help with endometriosis, those endo warriors out there. It's a fertility supporting perimenopause, postmenopause, and of course, Marcin Elegans, hip and knee patients too. Nearly everyone needs to be focusing on not only an anti-inflammatory diet, but an anti-inflammatory lifestyle. That was hard to say.
Say it 10 times. Talk us through then what you need to include or exclude. I don't like the exclude. I'm all about adding things in rather than cutting things out.
But think of it as a seesaw. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's just one side you've got foods and behaviours that are pro-inflammatory, and the other side you have foods and behaviours that are anti-inflammatory. So you just have to make sure the anti-inflammatory side is a bit heavier and it's just eclipsing the other side. And when we look at it, you'll go, yeah, it sounds very like healthy eating advice, like fruits and vegetables, nuts and seeds, fish and plant proteins, all the good stuff. But I'd actually get people to think of it as a meal by meal basis. So one of the benefits of an anti-inflammatory diet is that it's full of antioxidants, and they're predominantly coming from the plants, predominantly the fruit and veg that we eat. So we're thinking about not just having enough fruit and veg a day, but actually having enough per meal, flushing our system with anti-inflammatories and antioxidant foods at breakfast, lunch and dinner. So do it meal by meal more so than day by day or week by week.
So you're looking at your plate saying, do I have the fruit and veg? Is there any that are better than others?
Well, they're, to be honest, most people aren't even remotely consuming enough, so I'll take anything at this point. But frozen and fresh are great. And the smaller ones and the ones that are richer in colour tend to be even better yet. But they're all absolutely mighty for you. So I'd encourage people to focus on lots of fruit and veg. Really, fruit and veg should be the biggest part of the meal. In fact, there should be more fruit and veg than nearly anything else on the plate and in the bowl. And some people go, yeah, I'm definitely doing it, Orla, but probably at dinner, not so much at breakfast and lunch.
Yes. Let's talk about dairy, because sometimes this can get a little bit of a bad rep.
Yeah, it gets my goat because there's so many people saying dairy is pro-inflammatory. But they actually did a really big research study where they got all the research done and grouped it together and analysed it as one. And they said, actually, it's coming across neutral or, if anything, anti-inflammatory. So if you're consuming and you love your milk and your yogurts, absolutely tuck in. And that's good news. And cheese too. We shouldn't, poo-poo cheese. It's actually fabulous.
And she's a cheese fan, by the way.
I am a massive cheese fan, but I'm a massive dairy fan and I'm a massive Irish dairy
fan. And does
it
matter if it's full fat or low fat? Do you have to be specific, or is it all dairy?
No, that's the weird thing, is that research is really coming out promoting the, I don't say full fat, I say regular. It's the regular stuff and more these days, whether it's the pure study looking at heart health or even when it comes to fertility, especially in women. I go for the regular stuff. And if there are women with PCOS listening, again, regular dairy.
When it comes to your healthy fats, like your nuts and your seeds and your olive oil, how important are they? And a question I would have is avocado. Do you put that in there with those, with the healthy fats? Because it does seem to be a phenomenon that everyone's talking about their smashed avo.
It is absolutely delicious. But as soon as I say avocado on air, firstly, I say it in a really posh way, so it's always mortifying. But it's not really... it's not a sustainable food in Ireland. We shouldn't be shipping it in across the world, and they go off so quickly. Nuts and seeds and olive oil are great. When it comes to olive oil, I would go for extra virgin olive oil. So olive oil in that dark glass particularly, and it doesn't tend to be more expensive, but that's absolutely brilliant for you. So make nuts, seeds and extra virgin olive oil your main fats that you add to meals, and don't be afraid of adding them. Lots of people are, and they shouldn't be.
When it comes to excluding certain foods, and this is the question I don't ask, but I know I need to, how much do we have to limit the likes of processed meat, sugar and alcohol?
Well, they're very three separate things. When it comes to the likes of sugar, really with an anti-inflammatory diet, we are trying to balance the blood sugar levels as much as possible. So if you are enjoying sugar, have it after a meal would be preferable. When it comes to processed meat, less is more. But if you're having it once a week, it's not a big deal. Think of the seesaw. It's about filling up the other side. When it comes to alcohol, listen, we all need to reduce alcohol. No amount of alcohol is safe. No amount of alcohol is good for you. You know, and I do have to be the Grinch when it comes to that. That said, I'm not perfect, so don't come at me in the pub if I'm holding a gin and tonic.
You said on the radio I shouldn't be doing this. But as you said, it is that seesaw. So if you are
taking
your alcohol, just balancing it on the other side. Let's talk then about exercise and sleep, because we hear a lot about them, but they are the backbone when it comes to so much to do with our health.
They are. And, you know, our body has a to-do list, and the to-do list is mighty when it comes to what it's supposed to do when we're asleep. And if we're not sleeping 7 to 9 hours, it's not getting through the to-do list, and it bothers the body a lot.
7 to 9 hours.
I know, I'm saying that. I got about 30 minutes last night. Listen, you know, kids and all that. But we do need sleep. It is important to prioritise it. So for lots of people, it's a bit of discipline and not going the extra show and just going to bed on time and try to be predictable, going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time as many days as possible in the week. But sleep is important and exercise is important. The great thing about exercise is that the studies are really highlighting frequency being nearly more important than intensity and volume. So it's about getting exercise snacks throughout the day. So if we're going about an anti-inflammatory diet, which is managing blood sugars, we know that 3 10-minute walks is better than 1 30-minute walk. Now, don't stop going for your 30-minute walk. That's absolutely brilliant, and I'm not trying to discourage that. But if you could put in a 10-minute after breakfast, after lunch and after dinner, you'd be absolutely
flying.
And it
doesn't seem as bad, because sometimes the idea for people of going for the big walk or the big training session turns them off. I like that, the little exercise snacks.
Yes, and it's about frequency. And when we're trying to build new habits, we want the habits to be easy to build. Mm-hmm. And once they're in place, then we can build an intensity and volume.
I remember somebody saying that before. In order to improve a habit, you first need to put it in place. So it's like, as you said, just incorporate little bits into your day. Let's finish with herbs and spices and the importance of those.
They're absolutely incredibly important. They are anti-inflammatory, full of antioxidants, and I would encourage people to have them at breakfast, lunch and dinner. The dried are absolutely fine. So are the frozen, and they're dead handy. So
give me examples of even when it comes to like your breakfast and your lunch, what you could
maybe
be throwing
cinnamon
in
your porridge, or mixed spice, or ginger, or cloves, nutmeg on your mushrooms, basil on your tomatoes, paprika on your potatoes, I love rosemary, thyme and garlic on my potatoes. So just make everything tastier, and you'll find if you're lashing in the herbs and spices, you'll be eating less salt, and that's really important too.
And we all have them in the press, but often we might use the one or two. So it's dig into the press now for the next few weeks, make sure it's not out of date or anything, just bring it out and start using them.
Lurry into them and experiment, because you'll find new tastes that way, and then you enjoy your food a lot more.
Thank you so much, Orla Walsh. You can find all of the information that Orla is always talking about when it comes to our health and well-being on Instagram at Orla Walsh Nutrition. That is all we have time for this evening.